Coming up next on the Pod Wheels Network, you'll hear the Jack Cooper Podcast, featuring the latest news from Jack Cooper. In this edition of the podcast, we'll meet Charlie Figemeyer, one of the professionals behind the wheel in the Jack Cooper fleet. Charlie also serves as a trainer, and he values the opportunity to share his knowledge and expertise with the new hires he meets through the company's orientation process. Here's a preview.
Once you kind of get this car all in your blood, and I tell that to the new hires, guys, once you get in to do this, you'll never want to do anything else. It's just that good. And like I said, the record speaks for itself on the number of drivers that we've retained here over 92 years. Here's the neat thing about this. Everybody that I've trained, you know, I turn them on to other people here. My best friends I work with here, and I met them doing this stuff. I hang out with some of these guys on the weekend during a week. There's a bunch of guys down here that have been to my house. I've got guys that actually come to my house for Christmas. These are the people that I've met in this industry and that I have become really good friends with.
Welcome back to the Jack Cooper Podcast, and thanks for connecting with us again here on the Pod Wheels Network. As we noted in the preview, we'll be talking to Charlie Figemeyer, a veteran professional car hauler and fixture in the Jack Cooper fleet for the past 9 years. Charlie followed in the footsteps of his dad by getting into the trucking industry. And, as he shares with us, Charlie was first introduced to car haul in 1996 while he was participating in a state truck driving championship. Once Charlie began driving his first car haul rig 24 years ago, no other experience on the road could compare to the challenge and the satisfaction of playing a critical role in the finished vehicle logistics supply chain. Charlie is based out of Jack Cooper's Wentzville, Missouri terminal. In addition to driving, Charlie also serves as a trainer for Jack Cooper, working with the company's new hires once they enter driver orientation. Charlie has a passion for teaching, and his lessons extend well beyond instructing proper techniques and procedures. As you'll hear, Charlie welcomes being a mentor within the Jack Cooper fleet. He knows that sharing his experience with Jack Cooper can help others find their path to success as they move down the road. Pod Wheels Network executive producer Greg Thompson caught up with Charlie in between one of his training sessions at the Wentzville Terminal. Charlie and Greg had a wide-ranging conversation that promises to be of interest to every member of the Jack Cooper community. Now let's hand it off to Greg Thompson in his Zoom audio conversation with Charlie Figemeyer.
Hello again, everybody. Greg Thompson with the Pod Wheels Network back with you on the Jack Cooper Podcast. We've got a great podcast to share with you today because we have a driver trainer in the Jack Cooper fleet, and that's Charlie Figemeyer. Charlie, how you doing, man? And where are you talking to us from today?
Hi, Greg. How you doing today yourself? I am actually sitting at the terminal here in Wentzville, Missouri, near the GM facility just right down the street here where we do most of our work here.
There's a lot of topics we're going to cover with Charlie. I'm excited to get to those. But before we get deep down into things like load factor and some of the methods you use for training, I want to know what first attracted you to the trucking industry, and then how did you find your way to car haul?
Well, I grew up around this industry my entire life. My dad was a driver, owner-operator, and a car hauler. I'm 51 years old now, and I've actually been driving for 28 years. I've worked both in union and non-union trucking jobs. Almost 25 years I've been with a union car haul. I got into this business. I tried to get into it back in 1996, and I was at a truck driving championship in Joplin, Missouri. And I just so happened to meet about five of the drivers from another union company, Cassin's Transport, and there happened to be a terminal manager there with them. And I approached these gentlemen and basically asked them if they knew my uncle and my dad, and one of the individuals there said he knew him very well. I explained to them that I had put an application in back in February of 96, had not had any response about coming over and hauling cars. I was asked to come back in about 2 weeks later for a second interview, and basically it's been uphill ever since then. It's been an incredible career that I've had doing this. When I first got into this, I had no idea the money, the insurance, and all the benefits that this union car haul had to offer. About doubled my income starting off in this business. It's been an incredible ride the whole time.
Doubled your income, man. That's crazy. So you were doing some OTR work and then you got into car haul and you doubled your income. So once you got into the union car haul and you said you were at Cassin's, how did you find your way to Jack Cooper?
Well, in 2008, the Benton, Missouri Chrysler plant had moved production to part of Canada and Michigan and some of it in Mexico. At the height of our industry there in Fenton, we had about close to 300-man driver board there. That's 300 union car haulers. So I was kind of away from union car haul for about 2.5 years. About 2011 is they started making an announcement that they were going to bring the Chevy Colorado and the GMC Canyon to production to Wentzville, Missouri, and immediately knew that they was going to be needing some more drivers. When I found that out, I put a resume and application together and sent it up here. And as soon as they started hiring, I was part of the first 7 or 8 drivers that applied and got on out here. Shortly thereafter, we've actually ended up transferring a lot of the drivers that used to work with me at the other company over here. They are currently working here with us now at Jack Cooper.
So we're talking about how you got into Jack Cooper. Want to know what your first impressions of the company were 9 years ago and how it's changed over those 9 years.
Yes, immediately when I started here, a gentleman by the name of Roger Owens was our terminal manager. He's the guy that set me down in his office and told me I had the job. I was pretty excited. I'm back in the union. It was a very good day for me that day. And immediately I went to work. Pretty much they did everything the way we used to do at the other union car haul company. Equipment was a little different. Of course, the vehicles were different, but the experience that I had, I jumped right in and molded right into the job. I remember the very first week that I started here, I pulled about a $2,500 week that week. And then shortly thereafter, due to the rail increase traffic, I was placed on cities, which I did not mind that at all. I had basically run a shuttle for almost 7 years. That allowed me to be home, but I really enjoy being on the road. I took the position. I was told that I had to do that because of the influx in rail traffic. I made pretty good money on the city side of this job here. And then shortly thereafter, when the rail freight was cleaned up, I went back on the road again. That's the neat thing about this. You're never out for long periods of time here. Again, we have local and road stuff that provides you a real good, decent life here. I was pretty happy when I got back over here, and it didn't take me long to fit in and to feel at home here again.
The fact that you've been with the company for 9 years says a lot about the company and the relationship that you've built with people at Jack Cooper.
Well, I do intend on retiring here. I've got about another 10 years I'd like to go, maybe 12, depends on how things are going. I do have long-term plans of being here for the rest of my career.
Well, and that really says it all, man. I mean, find a company that you want to retire from.
It's a common thing for when guys get on here, they stay here and they retire here. I mean, you can check the record and see the numerous amount of drivers that have been here and have retired here. This is an ever-changing industry. Just about the time you get something figured out, the vehicles change up. About every 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 years, vehicles change. And this does sometimes change the way you have to load things. The equipment is constantly evolving, so we have to work with that. The benefit from being in specialized car carrying, a job like this, we are very rarely ever sitting around waiting for our next load. We have a contract with GM and Ford and all these manufacturers to move cars. Everybody knows there's really a shortage of good car haulers in this business, so that makes us even busier. An important thing, when you get empty, you call into a central dispatch phone number, and they are automatically sending you to the next location to load your next load of cars. And yes, we do load and unload our own cars. So that right there along brings a whole new question. We have no downtime. So if you pull up to a dock and make your appointment, you have to sit there and wait for 3 or 4 or 5 hours for a guy to come out and unload your truck on a forklift. We just don't have that in this industry. We do our own loading and unloading. Therefore, there's a benefit to that. When you get empty, you go. You're constantly in motion.
Now, Charlie, Jack Cooper is a union company, and you're a union member. So I'd like for you to talk about labor relations in recent years and the role that communications can play within the Jack Cooper community.
The difference between a union and non-union company, I have worked for both. The union company I recommend, there's just a lot more feedback from the drivers and management. Here at Jack Cooper, we have these round table discussions here occasionally. They're getting driver feedback. They're getting feedback from rail loaders, yard people. We sit down and we talk about problem areas and possible solutions and my ideas and trial and error type with follow-up results. To me, I think this breaks down barriers in a positive way that benefits everyone. We have a lot of feedback about that stuff.
So, Charlie, when we look at that structure and I hear what you're sharing with us, it seems to me that the structure really helps to promote communication between the fleet and management, and that's got to help you as a driver, right?
Yes, we're always looking at ways to improve things, whether it's a safety issue or if it's a loading issue. We're constantly trying to evolve and make this a much safer place. and for things to work better.
We touched on this a little bit earlier. You've been with Jack Cooper now for 9 years. So here's a two-part question for you. What's your favorite part of being on the Jack Cooper team? And what has been the most challenging aspect of your work at Jack Cooper?
The most challenging aspect is probably some of our aging equipment. It still works. It is older equipment, and our Winsfield fleet is 20 plus years old. I do have a newer piece of equipment. When my bed equipment goes down for service or in the shop, I still will jump on a spare piece of equipment. And again, that equipment still actually makes you some pretty good money. The challenge is you have to get on some of this older equipment. You have to go through and do pretty thorough pre-trips inspections on them. It's something you have to look at, and you basically have to correct some issues on them sometimes. And you use the vehicle, you work with it, and you still can manage to haul cars with that piece of equipment. My favorite thing about working for Cooper, it's the ever-changing demand. It's never boring here. Things are constantly changing of loads, equipment, trying to prove load factors here at Winsfield and at all the other terminals.
As we mentioned, you've been here for 9 years. Does Jack Cooper feel like home to you?
Yes, Jack Cooper feels like home right here at Winsfield.
When you think about that, in this industry, to be able to find a home, and as you were talking about earlier, about the fact that things are structured and scheduled, finding a home is so valuable to anybody who's behind the wheel in the trucking industry. Can you talk about that for a moment?
I'll give an example of that. In the 28 years that I've been driving this car haul industry, I've seen guys come in and retire from here. For example, we got a guy here at Winsfield. He hired in 1977. He's still here working, hauling cars. He will be retiring here pretty soon, but that's not unusual to see in the car haul industry, in the union car haul industry, how guys have been here for 10, 15, 20, 30, 30 plus years. And that says something about a trucking company that can keep drivers that long at the same facility or doing the same thing with the same company.
Charlie, and talking about challenges, 2020 has been a challenging year, particularly with COVID-19. So let's talk a little bit about COVID-19 and car haul during a global pandemic. So tell us about your experience this year and talk to us a little bit about Jack Cooper's response to the COVID crisis.
Here at Winsfield, Mike Savo, our particular terminal manager here, he did have some freight that still had to be hauled, and he made a call in like a seniority order to get guys to come in according to where they felt comfortable coming in. I personally took the time to actually come in, and like overnight, this terminal was set up to where we can come in and be safe while we was working here. They had some curtains up, and they give us some masks to use, gloves. They actually gave us a pack full of all kinds of PPE supplies for protection of the drivers. And there was some literature handed out for us to read, and we basically had to follow the guidelines here. They transformed this place into a safe place to work for us. Right now, when we come into work, we still have to put our mask on. We've actually gone into doing a contact-free dispatch. They implemented some new electronic dispatch procedures for us. GM and Jack Cooper and our customers actually set up a way of actually delivering new vehicles to the dealers and not even have to come in close contact with our customers. There's a particular way that we sign off on our tablet so we successfully get the vehicle delivered.
Charlie, as you know, because you've listened to a couple of our podcasts, you know that we have shared a lot of the planning that Jack Cooper did in the early days of the COVID crisis. And as it moved forward, we've talked about it a lot. Hearing about it from you, from the perspective of someone behind the wheel and doing what you're doing as a driver trainer, to have that comfort when you walk into your place of work, because everybody out there when COVID hit, we're like, okay, how are we going to move forward? That was a huge challenge. And that had to give you a lot of comfort to know that your company stepped up in the way that it did to make you feel like, hey, we can do this and we've got the tools that we need, right?
Yes, it was kind of eye-opening when you come in and see all the steps and precautions that Jack Cooper have taken. At that point, that's when it hit me how serious this was. I mean, it's important to keep this business up and running. And with everything that they've done here, I personally don't think there's been any problems here because of the steps that were taken here at this terminal.
And again, I think that speaks a lot to the total team at Jack Cooper, because the management, the staff was able to make you guys feel comfortable. And then you guys were able to go out in the field and work with customers, as you said, do the contactless things, do it differently than you ever had before, and feel safe about doing it.
Yes. For instance, you pull into a dealer and you still unload the vehicles. You virtually don't have to get close to anybody. You pull in a lot of time, the dealers are looking for you because they do get an email that you are en route to their dealer. You pull up, normally they usually come out and have a person check the vehicles in. You just basically step back and let them check the vehicles in, and then we have an electronic tablet that you just ask their name, you type it in. They never even have to touch our tablet. Then you sign off. Instead of putting your signature, you write COVID-19, and that is something that's been set up with Jack Cooper and the customer instead of actually having to come in close contact with anybody at the dealer.
Charlie, we're catching up with you today at the terminal where you're doing part of your work as a driver trainer. I wanted to ask you how long you've been a driver trainer and what inspired you to become a driver trainer. And also, let's talk a little bit about how you approach the work with trainees. And can you talk about the importance of passing along your knowledge and your experience to the trainees out there?
Yes, Greg, I was approached by Mike Salvo about 2.5 years ago if I would considering training new hires. I felt honored that he would ask me. That's one thing that we do out here when we're on a loading dock. We're constantly helping other drivers. What inspired me to do this? I'm constantly involved with what we do here. I'm always looking for a better way or a safer way to do things. This thing that we do here called car haul, it can be a very complex job. It's a fun job once you learn and how to do this, but it does involve a significant amount of participation and attention. It clearly requires a hands-on approach and to think outside the box to do this successfully. You have to retain some of your past experiences to remember how you do certain things and remember how to basically load a truck. There's a variety of loads all the time that are complicated. And when I do the training, I intentionally set up situations for the trainees to be challenged. Whether it's setting up a truck for doing a thorough pre-trip inspection before you actually get on a truck. I go through this step where I intentionally set up 10, 11, 12 different things wrong with the truck. And as a group, we go through and we try to find the problem areas, things that need to be looked at and addressed during a pre-trip. I stress that the post-trip is also important. But as a trainer, when we're actually getting to loading, and it takes a hands-on approach and a very good description of what's going on. It does require that you have full attention of all the drivers. I can usually see that in a guy whenever we're trying to instruct him. And if I feel like he didn't get what we just did as far as loading or unloading, I don't hesitate to go back and try to explain again why we do this.
So what I'm hearing you talk about is really an attention to detail, because if you learn the details and you learn the processes, you're going to be set up for success, right?
Yes, it really does. If a guy has to stop and take notes or even take pictures with his camera phone, I encourage that. I've actually made up a book or a guide here for guys to look at and study. I encourage guys to take a look at that. I do encourage just having full attention in your mind on what we're doing here. It does demand that to successfully do this.
We've talked around it a little bit, and you kind of alluded to it before and in the answer you just gave us. But what is the most challenging part of being a driver trainer?
Most challenging part is just trying to retain as much information, get your hands on this. And when you successfully load a truck trailer correctly, step back and think, could I have done something a little bit different to make this load a little bit better? The most challenging thing to me here is, for example, right now I'm going through a challenging part. I have some new hires that have had some small damages and a couple major damages. And I know I covered this stuff with them. It's a lot to learn and a lot to remember getting into doing this. I have feedback from the drivers when they experience these situations like this.
So through this process, you're trying to get better at what you do in terms of passing along your experience, learning from their experience to help Jack Cooper have a better group that's coming out in the field, right?
Yes. I mean, it's very discouraging if you get out here in the field and you make a mistake and you have a damage. And it's usually a minor setback to some of these guys. And I always say sometimes you learn more from making mistakes than you do when you actually do something right. It teaches you, hey, maybe I shouldn't do that again, or maybe I should do something a little bit different. Generally, guys do learn that way.
Let's talk a little bit about on the flip side of training, because there has to be a rewarding part to training or you wouldn't do it. So what to you is the most rewarding part of being a driver trainer?
Well, it's funny because I almost get the same statements from guys. When I get into this and we start digging into what it takes to do this, I've had people tell me, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm like, just stick with it. And the way I kind of teach these guys to do this, we kind of jump around a little bit to keep guys on their toes. But in the end, it all comes together. It all meshes together. And I have had that feedback from these guys. Charlie, I didn't think I was going to be able to do this, but you're right. The way we've done this, I've learned from this. The best part of this, when I get guys calling me and like, hey, I'm getting better at this. I understand this. And I'm like, well, I remember when you said you wasn't going to get this, but you stuck in there. Like, I'm the coach and I'm trying to teach these guys how to do this. And that's the most rewarding part, the guys that I've taught, and they are still here. They stuck around and they do find a new home here. This is a place where guys can finish their career. It's that good here.
Now, Charlie, we've talked a little bit about this. I want to drill down into it now. What are some of the most important points that you share with your trainees and others who are new to Car Haul? It sounds like a lot of patience, attention to detail. But then beyond that, more specifically, what do you share with them that will set them up for success in their careers at Jack Cooper?
Well, once I get to meet and greet the guys, they go through orientation. We get them out actually on the dock or next to a loaded piece of equipment. And some of these guys, these drivers, have never been around a loaded car hauler. And once they start seeing how this stuff moves around and operates, some of their guys are in complete awe of what it takes to do this. Basically, point out all the little details that it takes to do this. From that point, I start breaking it down, what it takes to do this. We go step by step, and we show this is why you do this, this is why you do this, this is why you do that. It's a formula of actually putting together to make this all work. And like I said, the way we kind of jump around in training, it's a hands-on approach to all of this and being able to talk about why things are done the way they are done.
Charlie, one of the things that was very interesting to me as we were looking to do this interview was talking about being a mentor, because that's what you do as a driver trainer. Can you talk about the importance of having a mentor as you enter Car Haul and as folks gain experience at Car Haul? And also, how should somebody go about finding a mentor? Yes, you are a driver trainer and you got a lot of folks that work with you. But after they get beyond being a driver trainer, what happens?
Well, a lot of the experienced and veteran drivers that work here, they recognize the new faces here. The drivers here will step up and say, hey, look, my name's Jim, my name's Dan, or my name's whatever. The veteran drivers know that these guys are new. I try to pass along the camaraderie that these guys have. So I do have it set up to when these guys get out on their own. If you have any questions, whether it's 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to 11, 12 o'clock at night, I've taken calls from drivers that may be out somewhere. They may have a problem with finding a lost unit, or they may have a mechanical issue, or they may ask me how to set up a load. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're out somewhere at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night loading. It does mean that they may have gotten a load shipped over to their tablet, and they'll call and ask me, will this work this way? I do take calls all the time from guys that have gone through training. The neat thing about working here, if you're on the dock loading, whether it be in Wentzville or if you're in Flint, Michigan, or if you're wherever, the drivers from that terminal or a fellow driver that you work with in Wentzville may come over and recognize that you're having some problems. You don't know how to particularly where to spot a particular unit. It's always been that these drivers stand up with each other and help them when they need help. It's just that's the way we do things here. Every time I have a group of guys will come up and find out, hey, where do you live? Where are you from? Well, it's kind of weird. It always happens this way. Hey, look, my name's Jim, and take my number down. And if you have any questions, call me. Every single time we've ever had a class, these guys step up. Hey, look, man, just stick with it. It's hard getting into it at first. But if you stick with it, if you ever have any problems, here's my number. Take down my name and number. Put it in your phone. And if you have any problems, call me. A lot of guys meet new people here, and they end up becoming like lifelong friends with people here. You know what I mean? It's just the way it works here.
Well, and it sounds to me it's like a fraternity, so you're kind of welcoming people in, and particularly when you look at what this industry needs, and that is newer drivers just to come into the industry in general. And again, we talked about it before, there is truck driving and there's car hauling, so you may have somebody who's got 10 years of experience in OTR, and they're coming into car hauling, and it's a totally different ball game. So having people around you that are familiar with that and are willing to help at a company, as you talked about, a very close community of people that want to help each other, has got to be very valuable.
It is. Just this morning, I had the 6 new hires that I'm with right now, and we was out helping one of our drivers who's been here for about 6 years, Kevin Monroe. And we was just out kind of using him, watching him load and helping him along. When he got done, Kevin basically told these guys, hey, if you ever have any questions, you have a need for anything, give me a call. That's the kind of things that happen here all the time. That's the way the drivers are here. Kevin Monroe doesn't know any of these guys, but he's trying to reassure that these guys can call him if he ever has an issue with something.
You're in tune with the Pod Wheels Network, and you're listening to the Jack Cooper Podcast. Hello again, everybody. I'm Greg Thompson from the Pod Wheels Network, and thanks for spending some time with us here as we share our interview with veteran car hauler and driver trainer Charlie Figgemeier from Jack Cooper. We'll return to the Jack Cooper Podcast and our interview with Charlie in a moment. We wanted to take this opportunity to remind everyone that you can get caught up on the latest happenings at Jack Cooper by visiting jackcoopernews.com. There's a wealth of information on jackcoopernews.com, including past episodes of the Jack Cooper Podcast. Make sure that you visit jackcoopernews.com. Now let's return to our interview with veteran car hauler and driver trainer Charlie Figgemeier from Jack Cooper. As we rejoin the conversation, we'll be talking to Charlie about his approach to load factor and his dedication to providing a foundation to success through training. Before we got rolling on this segment, had a chance to learn a little bit about you and that you've got a good deal of expertise in maximizing load factor. First of all, I want to ask you, how'd you gain expertise in this area and why is this such an important consideration?
Well, Greg, after being around this for as long as I have, you go down the road and you sit there and think about the load that you just completed. And sometimes you've got to think about what you've actually done. I'm like, man, could I have maybe added another unit? And then you have to think about that, the restrictions that go into that. The bottom line is you kind of have to start off with the empty weight of the car carrier. And then you look at what is it that I'm going to be loading up and delivering? What is the curb weights of the vehicles? There's a dimensional factor that you have to play into it. Sometimes you can only put so many vehicles on a truck because of the size of the vehicles. There's plenty more room for weight, but because of the size of the vehicle, you're restricted on how many units to put on. Sometimes there's room for more vehicles because you've got room because of the weight factor. At least 5, 6, maybe 7, 10 times in the time I've been here, I've come up with a way to put that extra Camaro on a car carrier, a 10th unit. I've actually been able to load 10 units in the Fairfax terminal over there where they make the Chevrolet Malibu. It's something that they don't commonly do on the trucks that they don't have based out of that terminal. You go in there on an 11-car strap truck like we have here. Every time I've ever gone in there, I've been able, hey, give me another unit. In some cases, right here in our own terminal in Wentzville, I was able to put an extra van chassis, a cut van. The bottom line, that affects your bottom line. At the end of the year, you actually made more money because you've done that. It is a little bit more time-consuming, and especially the learning curve that it takes for a new guy or even an experienced guy to figure out how to do that. But you're constantly always trying to evolve with the equipment that you have to use and the vehicles that you're trying to ship. In many cases, I've constantly working or changing up something on a truck or a load to trying to basically get that extra unit. Now, just because you get the extra unit, again, you have requirements and restrictions. You still have to meet weight, height, length restrictions. And when you complete that, then you successfully have done that several times, then you try to pass that on to other terminals or other drivers. And again, that really does affect the bottom line of what we do here.
As you describe this, I found it very interesting on a couple of points. Sounds to me like load factor is a little bit like working a puzzle. You get shapes, sizes, and weight. Is that correct?
It is. I've tried to describe it to trainees and guys that I've worked with for years. You sort of have to think outside of the box what you have to put in this imaginary box. And that box is 13-6 in height and overall lengths and proper turning room. And of course, your axle weights. You have to meet those requirements also.
When you look at that, it's a little bit of a science, isn't it? And how do you work with your trainees on this? And then another thing I wanted to bring up was, and you mentioned it, is that, hey, it might be easy just to put 7 cars on at some point and leave a couple for the next load. There may be folks out there who say, well, if we leave a couple behind, that's okay because that's business for us to get later. But can you talk a little bit about what you share with your trainees and what you say to folks that may say, why should I get a couple extra cars on here?
Well, anytime a truck to me leaves here and you could have possibly put another unit on the truck, that's revenue that you'll never be able to make up. So the next load that leaves here, you're not going to be able to put that extra unit because it obviously doesn't fit. But to me, it's important. Let's figure this out now and change. Again, I say evolve. Let's learn how to do this because there's just no going back and making up the revenue that you've lost because of that. It's a very expensive thing not to look at.
And then also, and I mentioned it just a moment ago, what are some of the key points that you share with your trainees about load factor?
When they start off new, like this group that I currently have, they're just getting into this. You have to actually get a visual of what you're doing. You have to be there working with your hands on this equipment. What works on one truck don't always work on another truck. And getting that to sink in to these new hires, it is such a complicated thing.
Again, it's a matter of expertise. It's a matter of experience. I guess it's just a matter of doing it. And what you're trying to do, Charlie, is share your knowledge, your strategy. If you see this, try this. Isn't that kind of how you approach it?
When you're standing there trying to put, whether it's 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10 units on a truck, you have to go back and rethink, I've done this before. Do you have to remember each particular unit gets spotted in a particular place? And if you're off 2 or 3 inches or even 4 or 5 inches, it might not work. When I actually train, I actually use that. I will actually set up sometimes a truck purposely wrong. And we step back and think, we'll sit there and talk about as a group, what do I got to do to make this legal? Look, see if we'd have done this. And I tell them that going into training, I will set up loads and I will purposely load things wrong. So we go back and we look and like, well, maybe we should have done this. We should have done this. I really do make them learn how to fix their mistakes. I can sit there and teach them how to do this the right way, but sometimes you actually benefit from teaching somebody the wrong way so they can learn from that.
There are a lot of methods, as you mentioned, that go into this that make sure that what you're doing is legal, it's effective, and it promotes safety.
We're showing and demonstrating something. You can't do that. Well, I've had guys, well, why not? Well, because it affects what we're going to do later on. One vehicle on a truck, when you basically get a load, you basically have to picture this thing in your mind. One unit that is on one of the last units, if that gets changed, then it sort of changes sometimes the whole way the whole truck has to be loaded from start. It's sometimes it's that complex.
And so when you're training these guys and you're going through this, there's a lot to consider, right? It's not just driving the rig, driving the truck, driving a load. There's just a ton of things that you got to think about. It seems to me that training and what you're doing would be so key to somebody's success.
Well, truck driving's a very honorable business to get into. But here in Car Hall, we expect guys to hire in here to bring that to the table because there is an additional challenge to actually delivering cars from assembly plants or railheads to the actual dealers. You have the potential of having more damages due to overhead strikes or tree limbs, for example. In my driver's road test, I actually have a course set up and I bring that to the table when I'm talking to them about potential overhead strikes from bridges to trees to canopies at some of the dealers, something that these guys have to be made aware of.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about a canopy and say you've moved something 300, 400 miles and in the last 50 feet, that's what is unique about Car Hall is that I've got a lot of experience on a truckload side, so everything goes into a square box that as long as you get your height clearances and all of that and you're smart as you go down the road, you've got a reasonably good chance of delivering safely. But when you're pulling a Car Hall rig, yes, everything's strapped down, everything is secured, but these vehicles that you're moving, they're out there in an exposed state in some ways, and there are a lot of other considerations that come into play here.
You've always got to be aware of your surrounding. We do have an issue with being high-centered. These trailers and the tractor itself sit lower than any other piece of equipment on the road out here. So it's not only the overhead that you have to be concerned about. You have to pay attention to basically driveway entrances, hills, and there is a potential for getting hung up and trying to pull into a dealer sometimes. We have a pretty good system set up on our tablet. It gives us instructions on where to enter the dealer. I had a case here about a month and a half ago. We was pulling out of a Tesla dealer over in Kansas City. We were instructed what exit to leave the dealer, and we got around there, and we actually high-centered on the driveway. Now, we was told that was the way to leave the dealer. After that incident, I sat down and Googled a different route for us to get into the dealer, and we've made some changes. Again, that's part of always changing or evolving to make this job better, safer, or easier. Basically, in the instructions for that particular dealer, it's now put in the system. So when you go into that particular dealer, you have a pretty good idea the way you have to approach the dealer and exit the dealer without getting into a potential problem area.
It would seem to me, too, that experience, and as we talk about this, particularly if the folks in the fleet out there, if you see something that doesn't add up, that could be a potential issue or something you encountered, you want people to report back to the company so that can be input into the routing, like the situation you're talking about. It's about getting the information. It's about processing it. It's about, again, acting upon what your eyes and ears see and hear out there, right, in terms of how things are going to get better, correct?
You're right about that. We have a system set up, whether you're getting paper bills, which we don't have so much anymore, but electronically on the tablet for our dealer instructions, there's usually pretty clear-cut instructions on where to pull in and how to get into the dealer and where to unload. And if there's not, we do have the opportunity to call the dealers, and whether it be a dealer or an upfitter, an OEM upfitter, or if it's even a rental car place, say Chicago O'Hare, which we commonly go into, and sometimes we actually pick up vehicles from those facilities. You go into that place like that, especially a busy place like Chicago O'Hare Airport, a driver does need to have some instructions on where to get into. You're operating a 75-foot piece of equipment or even an 80-foot piece of equipment. You don't want to be making wrong turns or going down the wrong street. We do have an opportunity to call and get instructions from the places sometimes, but usually it is on our tablets.
Charlie, you mentioned it earlier, and one of the things I wanted to circle back with you on is equipment. And as you and most of the folks in the Jet Cooper community know, the company is in the process of updating equipment. But in today's trucking industry, with the demand that exists, new equipment is just not a fast process. So in the meantime, what is your advice on getting the most out of the current equipment that is in this fleet?
Well, we do have some good equipment here. Some of this equipment's 20 plus years old. It actually is pretty good equipment.
Yeah, and that's amazing when you think about a 20-year-old piece of equipment, because in the trucking industry, the miles that are put on, to be able to have something that is 20 years, and you're telling me from a driver's perspective, hey, this is good equipment, that says a lot about maintenance, that says a lot about how your fellow car haulers are taking care of the equipment out on the road, that says a lot about your entire team, that you feel that the equipment is still pretty good, that we know that new equipment is on the way. So tell us a little bit about how people can get the most out of the equipment that we have today.
Well, for instance, right now, like I said earlier, I have 6 new guys in class. They look at some of this equipment and they think it's questionable. We point out there are some things that need to be fixed. We do have a maintenance shop here. We do have a process. Once you get a piece of equipment, you can write the thing up. You can write the tractor or trailer or whatever the case may be. It gets wrote up and we have a shop that fixes stuff. My biggest thing is, along with training and trying to teach these guys how to basically load cars and haul cars, I do go into quite a bit about basically how to maintain the equipment, what to look for, how to care for, as far as replacing straps, getting slip plate applied to some certain areas and keeping things greased up so they work nice and fluid. There's a lot of working parts on these trucks, and it is part. I actually go as far as saying, hey, look, this truck is going to make you a little over $60 an hour when you're working. And if you don't, it's not going to make anything. Once you get a piece of equipment, I usually try to actually go through with each and every driver to try to get things set up so he doesn't have any issues starting off. I go through, and if we have to restrap a large portion of the truck, we do that. I go through and I grease up ratchets. I go through and show them guys how to basically maintain this truck. I even say, hey, you've got to constantly check the tires. You've got to constantly check the fluids. This is your piece of equipment here. Basically, the more you take care of it, it's going to take care of you. And yes, we do have some newer equipment in, and guys feel like we'd like to have something like that. But many times when my truck goes down for service, I don't hesitate. My record is that I usually come in and I find a spare list of trucks and I go through and I usually take the best one that I can find and I use it. I still make pretty good money on that 20-year-old piece of equipment.
If your regular rig goes down, whatever rig you are using, you probably have a checklist that you go through to make sure that everything's right, going through the details as we talked about before.
Absolutely. I mean, easily pull the hood and check the fluids, check the tires, check the lights, check the hydraulics. Then when you actually get to working with it, I'll actually go as far as checking the ramps. Is there anything broken? This stuff is made of metal and it tends to sometimes require some welding. It could take as much as an hour, sometimes even not all the time, but if once I get on that truck and I do a pretty thorough pre-trip and fix a couple things on it, and then I'm usually set to use that truck for the week. Maybe just one trip, maybe the whole week, and my seniority allows me, maybe I use the truck for a week or two. But I mean, sometimes I'll jump on another piece of equipment. And I do go through and try to straighten things out enough so I leave the truck in well enough condition that the next guy doesn't have to do all that stuff. Once you maintain and go through some of this stuff, and say like restrapping a truck, it'll last for a little while, but it's still up to the driver ultimately to basically maintain the truck the way I do or the way they're used to doing.
Charlie, we've been doing the podcast now since about February. And one of the things that we learned in our first session with Mike Riggs, who's the CEO of Jack Cooper Investments, is that Union Car Haul, man, it is a tough business. And I think you guys knew that before, but that was one of the things that I learned about it, that there were 40 Union Car Haulers around back in the day. And now there's only a couple. And Jack Cooper is one of those. It is a tough business. You've been with Jack Cooper for 9 years. You've been in car haul now for, what did you say, 24? Is that right?
Almost 25 years. Okay. 25 years, yes.
And you've been around it long enough to see it from a non-union and a union perspective. And I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, where do you think that union carriers have an advantage over non-union carriers?
I have worked for a couple of non-union carriers. The company that I used to work for was a union company. They basically shuttered the production and shut down the Chrysler facility in Fenton, Missouri. We almost had 300-man board there at some point, and we all kind of scattered to go get jobs wherever we can get jobs. I did work for two non-union companies. One company, it started off pretty good and it got bad. I ended up having to put my notice in there and went and found something else. And then I moved into another non-union company. A little better company, nicer equipment, but I'll be honest with you, the insurance and the pay was nowhere near as good as what I had with a union company. Now, the record speaks for itself. We have drivers that have been here for 40 plus years. And I think any trucking company in the business would love to say that, because a lot of these companies have revolving doors of employees. That does affect your bottom line. If you've got employees that have been around that long, you must be doing something right. Jack Cooper has been very resilient in this ever-changing industry, and I can just say that this is where a guy needs to make his home. It's just a good place to work. Must be doing something right, because they've been in business for over 92 years.
And having been around the company now for close to a year, conversations that we had prior to starting the podcast, I really see that Jack Cooper is a company that has been able to adapt to the times and adapt to the circumstances. They're able to be responsive to their people. And when you do that, you're able to change. And trucking, and any mode of trucking, you got to have the ability to change. And I really think that's been a hallmark of what Jack Cooper's been able to do, particularly over the last few years of its history.
It's been tough for the last couple of years. Since 2008, a lot of the companies out here took a pretty big hit from the recession. To know that the two biggest companies are still in business and still doing fairly well, it's tough to do well. It's hard to do well. But we're still here, and we really do have a bunch of good employees here. Management and drivers together, I mean, it seems to work.
You've talked about it here for the last couple of moments about the advantages that you have found. And when you look at people that, as you said, have been with the company for 40 years. So when you're out and about at the truck stops or you're in your neighborhood or wherever you might be and somebody says, okay, so you're in car haul and I've driven OTR for 5 years and we're at the truck stop and we're talking, or we're at the neighborhood barbecue and we're talking. What do you tell people about car haul, and what do you tell people about Jack Cooper? Understand that this is trucking, so we hear a lot of great things. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but you were talking about the kind of money that you can make being a part of Jack Cooper. What do you tell people that are saying, hey man, I'm thinking about this, but give me the 411 on it. Is this as real and as true as you're saying it is?
Well, I do frequently meet people at, like you said, truck stops or even an automotive dealer on the street or even these new hires. You kind of basically paint this wonderful picture of what we do here. I try to explain. I said, well, hey, let me ask you, where do you live? A guy will tell me, well, I live near Dallas, Texas. I said, hey, look, all I can do is tell you to get on jackcoopercareers.com. And I said, we're looking for good drivers right now. But let me tell you about what we have to offer. And I usually ask, you're driving that truck right there. How long are you out? Oh, I'm out for 2 or 3 weeks, or I haven't been home in 10 days, or I haven't been home in 3 weeks. I said, well, we don't have that kind of a job here. A lot of our guys are home several times during the week, home on the weekends. We pretty much have our own freedom to work when we want. Again, this isn't a part-time job. This is truly a full-time job. But let me explain to you what we have to offer. We have extremely good pay rates for on the road. We have extremely good benefits, includes dental and vision insurance. And yes, we are union. We do pay union dues. That is part of it. And I try to hit on all the important things up front. And then I'm usually asked, well, what about this or what about that? Well, okay, they'd actually train you to do this. You go through a training that lasts for 2 or 3 weeks. It's a paid training course. Thing is, you could be local, you could be on the road, I said, but the road is not like anything else that you've ever done. And I try to explain to them, I said, let me ask you, when you have an appointment somewhere, you get there at, say, it's 6 a.m. in the morning, it might be 10, 11 o'clock where they actually back you up to the dock. And then you might be there for 2 or 3 hours. And when you call in empty, like you have to do in every business, what do you set? Sometimes they're like, yeah, I sit for a day or two sometimes, maybe 4 or 5 hours, a half a day or a day or whatever. In this business, when you call in empty at a dealer or wherever you might be at a rental car place or an upfitter or actually at a dealer, we are immediately dispatched to go to our next facility, or in some cases, we are told to come back home and we can load again and go out again. That right there is very important to me because most of these truck driving jobs, you might spend a day or maybe 2 or 3 days sometimes out on the road just sitting in your truck waiting. Here, this car haul business, this union car hauls, we are constantly on the move. There's practically no downtime at all. That is a huge benefit I try to relay to people when I'm talking to them. At some point, some guys say, well, that just sounds too good to be true. I'm like, well, all I can tell you, I'll hand them a business card and tell them, you just get on jackcooper.com, ask around, and do your homework and check. Some of the guys that I've trained and some of the guys that were here just 3 and 4 and 5 years, I've always heard the same thing. I wished I'd have got into this 10 or 15 years earlier. That right there speaks volumes to me about the industry and hauling cars.
Now, Charlie, as you share this with us, it dawns on me that there had to be one or two people that were very skeptical, but they said, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to try it. And then they got in, and like you said, they worked with it. Has somebody actually come up to you and thanked you personally for saying, hey, man, I'm glad you referred me to this because it really was life-changing for me? Do you have a story like that possibly?
Yeah, I have several stories. I mean, I myself experienced that. My dad and my uncle hauled cars for years. I had about 4 years over-the-road experience, and there was an opportunity for me to get into union car haul. I had no idea. It was pretty tough going through training. Man, am I really going to get this? But practically my first week out in union car haul, I had no idea. I didn't even know how to sit down and figure out what I'd made. When I finally got the figures put together, and I'm like, my God, I had no idea that there was this much money. I doubled my income from what I used to do.
And you said you were running St. Louis to the West Coast?
Yes, I was hauling freight out to, say, the Los Angeles area, and then hauling produce back to the St. Louis area. And I would be out there for sometimes a day or two or 2 or 3 days, maybe even up to 10 days waiting to get a backhaul. Produce is a funny business. It's a hurry up and wait type business. When I finally had an opportunity to get into union car haul, I jumped at it, and it's been life-changing ever since. I mean, it does provide a very good life for me and my family. And I have had that story repeated with people that I've got to know. Like I said, I've been doing this almost 25 years. There's probably half a dozen drivers that I've recommended that have gotten into this. They've always said, man, I just love this. Well, I'm home a lot more, and I'm making a lot more money, and the insurance is incredible. So it really is there. It's here at Jack Cooper.
Well, that has to make you feel very good to know that somebody took your words, your experience, followed that path, and then they were able to change their life in a positive way. Because as we've talked about here, it is what you make of it, right? You got to go in, you got to pay attention to detail, you got to do things right. But if you can get trained up, you follow the path, and you do things the right way, you can find your way within a very strong system and you can build a pretty good life for yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not to say that there's hurdles here. I mean, every company has hurdles. Every company, when you start, you kind of have to learn the way the ropes swing. Once you start figuring this out, I mean, it does get easier. I tell that to a lot of the new trainees. Look, this is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever got into, but just stick with me, pay attention. I'll try to demonstrate all this stuff to you, and I know we'll jump around a little bit, but when we're done, when you actually start doing this, everything that I've taught you will start to come together. That is something that it's an incredible feeling when you get a guy that thinks that he can't do this, and then he comes back and tells you, man, I'm doing pretty good at this. That, to me, is a payoff when you take a guy that's just struggling and learning how to do this. I always tell them, just stay with me and pay attention. This stuff will run together and it does get easier.
Now, Charlie, when you share that with us, it really goes, in my view, back to the strength of Jack Cooper as a company that's been around for 92 years. You've spoken throughout this podcast about some of those qualities that have made it, in your view, a company that's lasted for 92 years. But as we look at where the company is today and where it wants to go, and the people that are coming in, the people that you're helping to train, how does it look for the next 100 years at Jack Cooper, thinking about a company that can last another 92 to 100 years?
Well, I do believe that we're still one of the largest companies in this business. These non-union companies, they come and go. Jack Cooper's been around that long for a reason. The record speaks for itself. We have good drivers here. We have good employees here that have remained here for a very long time. I'm talking 40 years plus. You can go to just about any terminal in the system and see that. You can check and see that the guys have been on the seniority list that long. I personally plan on retiring from this company, as many others do. Jack Cooper just has remained resilient and adapted to the ever-changing industry. It's not just one person, it's everybody that makes this place work. You really do have to love what you do and be passionate and dedicated and constantly looking for ways to improve this place. Ultimately, you have to love what you do and be passionate about doing this. I've always said that. There's just this incredible feeling that you're overcome by when you take a guy, or personally myself, when you get a load and you're able to put this 5, 6, 7, or 8, or 9, or 10 units on a truck and you successfully deliver that load of cars to a dealer. And, you know, you get to go back to do it again. Personally, there's not been a single Monday that I've ever regretted where I've got to go to work. For some reason, I love what this business is about. It never gets boring here. It's always a challenge. And it really is just an incredible place to work.
Well, and when you think about it, Charlie, the thing is that you're getting a chance to meet people on the ground floor of the organization. They're coming in, you're helping to train. You have watched the organization adapt over the years. So you're able to speak to the strength of the organization, because the fact that the staff management is able to change with the times and put that into the training regimen, and the fact that you guys are able to train and adapt to what's happening in the market, that shows me, and I think that is one of the keys to success that the company's had over the long term. And if you keep that formula and you perfect it, the thought that the company can be around for another 100 years makes it seem very possible, just because of the way the people approach their jobs.
Once you kind of get this car all in your blood, and I tell that to the new hires, guys, once you get in to do this, you'll never want to do anything else. It's just that good. And like I said, the record speaks for itself on the number of drivers that we've retained here over 92 years. I know a lot of guys in the 20, almost 25 years, I still speak to a lot of the guys that I started off with when I got into this industry. They still talk highly of this industry, even though they've been retired for 5 or 10 or even 15 years.
You know, that speaks well of their time in the industry and speaks well of their time with Jack Cooper.
It does. It's hard to find jobs like this. When I'm out and about, I do seek people that I look to and think that maybe they might be a good fit for this job. I have approached drivers about coming over here. I currently have a guy that I met just about 70 miles north of St. Louis here. Talked to him in length for about 30 minutes there. We exchanged phone numbers. I've sent him some pictures of the things that we do here with loaded car carriers and have gotten into some great detail about some of the stuff. And I believe he is pursuing a career here at Jack Cooper.
Charlie, it's just one of those things that, again, you said it, you love your job. You're around people who love their jobs. And the fact that you guys are all rowing the boat in the same direction has got to make every day pretty rewarding and every day fun.
Yes, there's never really a dull moment around here. It's not the same thing every day. It's something different every day. But it's kind of weird to say this. You're doing the same thing, but it sort of changes every day. Here's the neat thing about this. Everybody that I've trained, you know, I turn them on to other people here. My best friends I work with here, and I met them doing this stuff. I hang out with some of these guys on the weekend during the week. There's a bunch of guys down here that have been to my house. I've got guys that actually come to my house for Christmas. These are the people that I've met in this industry and that I have become really good friends with. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to offer here. The greatest thing is getting somebody that's been driving. I got a guy that, you know, right now he's been driving a trash truck. Young kid, you could tell he's going to be good. I just get that gut feeling he's going to be good at this. Because, man, I make $100,000 a year hauling trash, but I never get to see my family. I never get to see my kids. My wife's mad at me all the time, and he just lives 10 minutes from here. I said, Matt, I have a feeling that you're going to fit in well here. If you bring your work ethic over here, you'll find that you'll have to slow down and still make that kind of money over here. You know, that's the greatest thing. Plus, they're going to give you all this insurance. They're going to give you all these benefits. And I told these guys, welcome to your last job. And a couple of them guys came back to me the next day, and they repeated what they said to their wives. This guy we met, you know, he's the trainer over here. And he just said right out, hey, welcome to your last job. And I said, well, I meant that. You guys stick around and pay attention. You just got your last job. They find that entertaining and they laughed about that. I'll do my part to keep these guys here. And that's the incredible feeling that you get in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years when these guys are around. It's the same thing that I experienced when I went to work doing this. You know, I'm not a job jumper. Most people hate jumping jobs. The security that you get working for somebody like Jack Cooper, there's no comparison out there when it comes to driving jobs.
That's veteran car hauler and longtime trainer Charlie Figemeyer with his final comments here on the Jack Cooper Podcast. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank Charlie for his time and perspective. We'll continue to bring you more news updates and features from Jack Cooper very soon. To stay in touch with the latest happenings at Jack Cooper, we would invite you to visit jackcoopernews.com. You can find company news updates and previous episodes of the Jack Cooper Podcast. In addition, jackcoopernews.com features a host of information on COVID-19 and Jack Cooper's continued response to the global pandemic. Visit the website and stay informed. That web address again is jackcoopernews.com. As we close out this edition of the Jack Cooper Podcast, the Podwheels Network and Jack Cooper reminds all our listeners that the nation's highways and roads are filled with challenges, and these days, those challenges aren't just limited to the roads. While we continue to move forward with each day during the COVID-19 era, please do all that you can do to stay safe and to stay healthy.